Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside the great Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, and what a morning it is in the world of sports, or I guess the world in general. Not much sports going on at the moment.
No.
Just been a crazy 48 hours to follow, Steve. The devolving nature of one league, one organization after the next, canceling, postponing. You knew when the NBA kind of started the ball rolling a couple nights ago that this was probably going to be the direction that things went, and they have. Here we are.
I mean, I've always been sort of paying attention to this virus, going back to when it started in China, and thought this potentially could be a very bad thing if people don't treat it the right way. And I generally think that was what happened, and information wasn't very good when it came out and all that. But just this week, in terms of sports, you know, when they came out with the rules of how far you have to stay away from guys in interviews and banning media from the locker rooms, I thought, okay, that's interesting, but we're a long ways away from like really, really drastic measures, right?
Yeah.
And then it was just Monday, right? That Ryan Ellis joked when we were in the locker room, he's like, "Hey, I thought you guys weren't supposed to be here," but we were still in there on Monday, And then Tuesday, the Ivy League comes out and says it's going to cancel its basketball tournaments. And it looked like, wow, that's really extreme. Like, that's taking it to a totally different level. And then even on Wednesday, when it seemed like it was inevitable that, okay, maybe tournaments will go on, but there's going to be no fans there, I thought, all right, well, now we're really getting serious here. But as long as they play the games, yes, it's going to stink to not have fans there. But if there's still games, we all can enjoy those from the couch or wherever. But then that moment on Wednesday night when you're sitting there and you don't really know what's going on in Oklahoma City between the Jazz and the Thunder, and all of a sudden it comes out that Rudy Gobert's sick and he was tested for the virus and the game is canceled. You kind of knew where things were going. And then obviously when it came out that he had tested positive for coronavirus and immediately the NBA shut down the season, at that point, it became very hard for me. I'm still not sure I got to the point that things like the College World Series were going to get canceled off of that, but I knew at that point that sports as we knew it was going to be over for the considerable future.
Yeah, I mean, and it's had a direct impact on our city as well. SEC basketball tournament getting canceled yesterday, and obviously our city has been through a lot over the course of the last week and a
Too
half,
much.
2 weeks. Yeah, no question about it. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey talked about that yesterday after the tournament was canceled. Here's what he had to say.
For us, it means we're not playing basketball in Nashville the remainder of the week. Part of the hurt here is the city's been through a lot in the last couple of weeks. I don't have a Nashville Strong t-shirt. I will, because we're a part of this community through our events, through our annual presence, our media days that are coming, our basketball tournaments that are here annually, well into the 30s. We have a special relationship here. And I want to say to the mayor, to the people of this great city, to the Predators, the Sports Foundation, the Convention and Visitor Bureau, how much we appreciate them. And there is sorrow in our heart, too, for having to adjust. To our fans, I know there will be a great deal of frustration. There was last night a lot of bewilderment. We have a public health situation in this country and across the globe that is emerging. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a researcher in immunology or infectious disease, but those who are engaged at the NCAA level provided some stark information. yesterday that guided the NCAA to close its tournament to public attendance. That then guided us. Literally, as I walked up here last night, the NBA stopped the game and had a player diagnosed with coronavirus. I had a text exchange a few moments ago with Billy Donovan, who was the first face I saw in that story, and he's a friend. And as you were asking me, going through my mind is I have a responsibility to care for people, both our staff, our student-athletes, our coaches, and our fans. And we made the best decisions possible at the time, but information has developed. We also had questions from people this morning about, wow, I have to get on a bus and I'm a tennis student athlete. I'm not comfortable doing that. I think our student athletes in men's basketball saw what happened in the NBA, and they look to that, many of them, as the next step in their basketball opportunity. And it just creates questions. So this was the appropriate decision made at the best possible time, even though a difficult time, and it affects our basketball tournament here, and as I said, other spring sports at our busiest time of the year through March 30th. A number of you will ask about return to play. We have work to do there. I don't have all of those answers, and I think I tell my staff, I don't know is a perfectly good answer from time to time, but it can't just be I don't know. You're going to have to do the work to engage and learn how to answer the question eventually. So we've created an interim period where we will work with our campuses to determine how we return to our normal operation. It may not be March 30th. It may be beyond. But that remains to be seen. But we've identified a time frame where we can engage in conversation and in decision making. Pretty quickly, we've talked about recruiting issues, spring practice. I don't have all the answers. There's a rather famous practice. We're talking about practice press conference. I don't want that necessarily to be me. So what we said is at the president's chancellor's level, we'll delegate authority to our athletics directors to make some of these operational decisions. And that conversation has continued since I departed the room. We're not all at destinations at this time. We may not govern every one of those elements. In fact, the NCAA may need to engage and quickly govern some of those elements. I've sent a text to Mark Emmert suggesting the NCAA should engage in on- and off-campus recruiting policies and changes and, candidly, restrictions for a period of time while we're all dealing with this. That would set everyone on an even plane rather quickly.
So those were comments from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey yesterday after the SEC tournament was canceled here in Nashville. Steve, I think Darren Donick and Chase had Butch Spiridon on yesterday and was talking about, you know, the economic impact already probably in the tens of millions of dollars that the city has lost out on. That's probably going to continue to rise. Just a really unfortunate situation. Look, I mean, the virus part of it, people getting sick, obviously that's the most primary and pressing concern. But there is a very real economic impact, not only as the city as a whole, but also on several individual people that call sports, you know, their job, that call sports working at the arena. Yeah, maybe even their primary source of income. That's also who you're feeling for today.
That's certainly who I immediately gravitate towards because it's my world. All the people I know in sports, ranging from the people who run the security line at the arena when you walk in to the ushers to the people in food service at the arena to freelance sports people to just other people in the sports world. That's where I gravitate because that's my world. But I was just looking down the list of all the things and cancellations just in general life that's going on. I mean, a lot of people have their kids not in school right now, which means they have to make a decision. Are they working or are they staying home with their kids? And that's a tough decision for people. Can they juggle both? People are having to figure that out right now. And you have some businesses that have stopped. You have travel that has stopped for a lot of people. The economy is obviously hurting in a big way right now based off of this. And so this impacts every single person, different in a lot of ways, but it impacts every single person, and it's not good.
Even the kids at Vanderbilt, like, I mean, you're talking about having to basically get off campus by Sunday. We all know not everybody that goes to Vanderbilt lives around here.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of people that go to Vanderbilt live elsewhere. So trying to get out and get back home and, you know, God forbid you live in Europe somewhere, you can't get there.
Well, I mean, Well, Vanderbilt in particular, and there's other schools like this, you're not just getting off like, hey, you're going on spring break and it might be an extended spring break. It is you're getting off campus and you're off for the year.
Yeah.
We'll see you next year or see you never if you're a senior perhaps. And that's a tough thing to do, to move yourself out in that period of time, as you mentioned, depending on where you live. But the other part of that is it's $75,000 a year to go to Vanderbilt.
Yes, it is.
How good is your education if you're spending a quarter of that year not on campus? And I'm sure the professors and instructors are bright and they'll figure out a way to do something smart online. But you can't tell me that's the same thing.
No.
As actually being in class, in person with people, going to have office hours and TA hours and all those sort of things. It's just not. So, I mean, one, this brings up a whole... See, this is the thing, and I can get on a real big soapbox here, so I'll be careful. But this is the thing, is first and foremost, we need everybody to get healthy.
Yeah.
We need the people who are healthy to not get sick. So that's where your prayers are right now. We got to figure that out. But this illuminates a lot of stuff in society that I think we take for granted, or maybe we realize we're a problem, but we were too busy or too caught up in our own worlds to actually think about it. College education is an absurd cost.
Yes.
It is an absolutely absurd cost that, because the government has taken on loans, it has allowed colleges to charge absurd costs. Because the government's in the loan business. That should never happen.
Right.
And because of that, it's meant that individual people go to schools and they take out $200,000 of loans, which they then struggle their entire lives to pay back. College should not cost that much. The government should not be the people giving you the loan, because that's what drives up how much college costs. That has to get under control, because we are ruining people's lives by sending them, telling them they have to go to college.
I mean,
we're basically saying you're a failure if you don't. And then we're charging you to a level that you ruin your life until you're 30 while going. That's just one of the many things that you can look at. We talked about China in the first hour. If you didn't realize China's a massive threat as of, you know, 3 years ago, well, you sure as heck better realize it now. And the things that they've written in certain papers, the Communist Paper of China, the paper of the Communist Party of China, basically said last weekend, now that the virus is coming under wraps here in China, the U.S. is incredibly vulnerable. If we strategically would shorten the supply of antibiotics that we send over there, because they make 97% of them, essentially we could kill Americans. They said that.
Yeah.
They wrote that in the paper. They published it. If you're not paying attention to that, pay attention now, because the biggest thing facing this country after this is over is decoupling ourselves from China.
Yes.
Becoming less dependent on what they do. And that's what people have to do now. I mean, that is the biggest thing that comes from this is, I mean, this is a sports show. I love sports more than anybody. But there are some massive things we need to think about once we get past this crisis, about how this nation needs to fundamentally change. And I think if there is any silver lining here, I hope that this crisis illuminates some of those things for people.
Yeah, it's certainly been an eye-opening week, I think, for a lot of us here, both in the world of sports and in our everyday lives. And that's going to continue, I think, as the next few weeks come about here. When we come back, Grant Hill had some comments on the cancellation of the NCAA tournament. We'll hear those and react next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Steve Lehman here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Steve Lehman from News Channel 5, taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. A lot going on, and also at the same time, a lot not going on in the world of sports here today, Steve. Johnny, who's a loyal listener that lives in Vancouver, tweets us and says, my parents, my brother, and I were supposed to head down to Nashville from Canada a week from Sunday, but yesterday we started the process of canceling the trip. Don't worry, we'll be back. We were there in 2017, and we love the city. It is, I mean, travel, I think, is certainly going to be impacted. A lot of people may have been planning on going. I know my church, we were going to Greece.
Yeah.
Not going anymore, obviously. I mean, it's one of those things.
I was planning on making a trip to Wimbledon this summer because I think a lot of people know I'm a pretty big tennis guy, and I've never seen Wimbledon. I've been to Wimbledon, but I've never seen the tournament there.
Right.
And so I was going to make a trip there this summer with one of my friends, and, you know, can't imagine that's going to happen now given everything that's going on. There's so much stuff. You mentioned Butch Spiridon and what's going on. Before this week happened, already like 99 groups had canceled conventions here in Nashville. And now the NRA's pulled out their massive convention and the SEC tournament cancels theirs. That is millions and millions. The SEC tournament alone, I think, annually is like $4.5 to $5 million into the city. That we probably lost at least half of that, maybe more, given what's gone on the last couple of days. And you're going to just see that over and over again until this is done.
Ron from Indiana texts in and says, I think the NFL should continue with the draft date, but have all teams on a conference call type where the whole draft should be televised, but only phone calls to players who are picked for the safety from the safety of their homes, just like they do now, but have no one in Vegas. Sorry, Vegas. What do you guys think about this? It is going to be really interesting to see what kind of a situation we're in, number one, when the NFL draft comes about. Do we have a better hold on this? Yep. Do we feel better about gathering in public? I mean, those are decisions the NFL is going to have to monitor. They haven't made decisions on that yet, which I think is smart. It's just kind of wait and see what's going on. But certainly, the NFL draft, it could be affected by all this.
That's 7 weeks away, I believe, from right now.
Yeah.
That's a long time. And we may not be out of this in 7 weeks. So I'm not saying that we absolutely, obviously will and the draft should go on. But that's a long time to get a feel. I have heard some. I've also heard some discount this. But I've heard some health experts say that, like the flu, they think when this comes out and gets into the warm weather season, that it's going to dramatically die down. I don't think we know that for sure because this is so new. But if that does happen, like, I could see a way that the last week of April, it could be safe to hold the draft. And so I think it's wise to sit back and not necessarily make a decision. I'll tell you what, though. I'm ecstatic that the NFL, at least for right now, they're changing things. Teams aren't traveling. Doesn't sound like prospects are going to travel into teams to work out like in the past. But they're still going to operate.
Yeah.
The league year is going to start next year, next week. We're going to have free agency starting next week. And thank heavens.
We'll have something to talk about.
There's at least something out there that we can talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Grant Hill had some comments yesterday about the cancellation of the NCAA tournament that I think once the NBA news happened on a couple nights ago, we all knew was going to take place after Wednesday night. Here's what Grant Hill had to say.
I have been on quite a few emergency board calls, both with the NCAA and with the Atlanta Hawks. And, you know, it's been challenging. It's been extremely difficult. And I think as it relates to the NCAA, it was about doing the right thing. We had a number of medical advisors that have been on this for the last month. Giving us advice, watching this coronavirus, and really making recommendations to the Board of Governors and ultimately to the staff, the executive team at the NCAA. And I can tell you when yesterday, and obviously, you know, I want to respect the confidentiality of the board, but when the recommendation was made by one of my fellow independent directors, Vivek Murthy, who was also the former U.S. Surgeon General during the Obama administration, no one objected. It was unanimous that at least yesterday, the idea of having a spectator-free tournament, you know, was agreed upon. And at the time, that was radical. And I think all of us felt very good about that decision. And, you know, we felt we were making a bold move. And as Adam Silver and Dr. Gupta mentioned in this previous segments, this thing has accelerated so rapidly. And that decision that we made yesterday at around 3 o'clock felt like last week, because this thing is changing, you know, by the hour, by the minute. And of course, the unfortunate circumstances with Rudy Gobert and the Utah Jazz, and then ultimately the decision by the NBA last night. You know, we were able to reconvene and, you know, go through contingency plans, talk about possibly postponing. But ultimately, none of that was practical. And we all unanimously felt, in spite of all the implications around, that this was the right thing to do.
That was Grant Hill, who, of course, is on the NCAA's Board of Governors, talking about the cancellation of the NCAA tournament yesterday. And, Steve, one of the things that he's right. I mean, it was like, I'm not sure I've ever seen not only like a sports cycle like this, but a news cycle where like it seemed like every 5 minutes something else was happening. And that was from Wednesday night when the NBA made their decision all the way through yesterday, where, like, you know, 5 minutes go by. Okay, the NHL has canceled or postponed their season. The NCAA tournament is fully canceled. SEC tournament, like, every, like, 15 to 20 minutes, something else was happening. And I don't remember certainly any sports days being quite like that, but really news days in general.
There will be a 30 for 30 someday about that 24-hour period.
Oh, yeah.
From whatever it was, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday to 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe the end of the day yesterday with the PGA's announcement last night. It just, it truly was. Every time you refreshed Twitter on your phone, something new happened. And each one seemed more shocking than the other until finally it got to a point where you're just numb.
Yeah, nothing was shocking
and then
anymore.
anything could have happened and you would have just taken it, because it was like you've taken so many body blows throughout the course of the day, there was just nothing left to feel anymore.
Yeah, and look, obviously I'm heavily invested in the NHL. I work for NHL.com. I've been around the game for 10 years covering it. You knew yesterday, and I had a lot of fans tweeting me yesterday and even calling into the show saying, you know, they hope they don't postpone the NHL season. The right move is not to postpone the NHL season. It was inevitable. I mean, they had to. Mm-hmm. They could act like there was a choice in it. There was no choice. When the NBA makes that decision, you can't then, if you're the NHL, come back the next day and say, yep, okay, well, I mean, we're going to play. It's just, it can't happen that way when you're sharing locker rooms, the same arenas in some cases that NBA teams have been in. I mean, the Toronto Raptors yesterday basically got quarantined and tested for the coronavirus. They've been in some similar arenas. I think that the Tampa Bay Lightning have been in as well. So, like, you have
to come
out. A couple
NBA teams shared planes with what the Jazz were on. The Jazz would take it one place, and then they'd take it from that place to the next place. There's just a lot of sticky things with it. And the Rudy Gobert positive test was truly the tipping point. Because had the NBA gone out on a limb on its own and just said, we're suspending the season because we think there's a great risk here, had they done that without the positive test, you might have seen some others say, we're going to play on, especially the college people,
right.
I think would have said, you know, we haven't seen an example of this in the arena, so if we just take the right precautions, I think we'll be fine. But when you couple it with the positive test of a player, that to me was the huge tipping point, because then it just changes and it becomes about liability at that point. One league has shown this already can happen, and they've taken the necessary steps to prevent it moving forward. If you're that league or that conference that's still out there playing and then something worse happens, I mean, it's over at that point.
Absolutely. Well, the NBA was really what got this ball significantly rolling downhill on Wednesday night. Adam Silver made some comments yesterday about the league's decision to suspend the season. We'll hear from that and react to that next. Also, take your call, 615-737-1025. Your text messages as well, 615-737-1025. What's been your reaction to all this? What are you going to do now that sports is no longer really a viewing option on a nightly basis? This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Steve Lehman here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Steve Lehman from News Channel 5, taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And what a day it's been. What a week it's been in the world of sports. Certainly memorable, I guess, for all the wrong reasons. It's been memorable. Cancellations of tournaments, sports leagues, professional sporting leagues being put on hold. And this really, I mean, it started with the Ivy League, like we talked about earlier, with the cancellations. And, you know, there were plans to play, you know, games without fans in the building. But what really got all of this going was Wednesday night, the Rudy Gobert situation between the Utah Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, makes the decision to suspend the NBA season for an indefinite period of time. And yesterday, Adam Silver kind of broke down what went into that decision and how they came to the ultimate decision to suspend the season. Here's what Adam Silver had to say.
I think we're at the point now that this has been declared a pandemic, that it's virtually impossible to contain it, and it's going to become widespread. And also, as Kenny said, the NBA community is not immune, and so it's going to spread throughout our community as well. What had happened yesterday was that we had a Board of Governors meeting. It was by conference call and some NBA League committee meetings with some groups of our owners as well. And the very purpose of the meeting was to decide what our next step should be. I had been talking to your colleague, Grant Hill, you know, former NBA great, who's also on the board of the NCAA, and he'd been filling me in on their discussions about facing the decision as to whether they should play at that point. They have obviously canceled this point, but whether they should play with or without fans. And some of the same experts, in particular, Dr. Vivek Murthy, who used to be the Surgeon General of the United States under Obama, was advising us both. And the truth is, up till a few days ago, or even up till yesterday, the experts were unclear as to whether, as a public health matter, NBA arenas should be emptied. I think there was a clear consensus that for people over 70 or people who have any sort of underlying ailment or, you know, a compromised immunity system, that they should not be coming. But again, it was an open issue. So we had a board meeting. We had scheduled one for Wednesday and one for today. The purpose of the one Wednesday was so that we could run through every team and get their point of view. We have some owners who have a fair amount of expertise. Mickey Arison, who owns Carnival Cruise Lines, who's dealt with these issues for years, you know, and others who had opinions. And essentially the discussion was, should we attempt to play our games without fans in the arena? Arenas, would that be safe? Or we should take some sort of hiatus? And then the plan was for the league office to process that information and then have another discussion today and make a decision. The call went on for several hours, and I was heading home, I think around 8 o'clock or so last night, and I got a call from the league office that we had just learned, literally is right before tip of that Utah Jazz-Oklahoma City game, that Rudy Gobert, and I'm almost only saying his name because he made it public that he was one of the players that ultimately we learned tested positive, that although he had been separated from his team the day before because he had been running a fever. And once his test came back positive, we needed to make a decision whether we were then going to cancel the game. And the fans were in the seats, ready to go. We were now 5 or 10 minutes past the point we were supposed to tip. I spoke to Clay Bennett, who was there, owner of Oklahoma City Thunder, Sam Presti, the GM, and also spoke to some representatives of the Utah Jazz. And I think we quickly agreed that this should not, of course, be a business decision. We should be listening to the public health experts, Oklahoma City, and the team doctors. They conferred and fairly quickly decided we should not be playing. And then I think I officially canceled the game. And immediate issue was clearing the building of fans and not alarming anybody. And then we waited till the fans were out. And then we made that decision since I knew I had the benefit of several hours of meetings that day with representatives of every team on the issue of a hiatus. You know, it seemed in that moment we made the decision that at the expiration of that last night's games, we should be taking a hiatus, knowing again we would have a chance to meet and have further discussions today. So that was the decision, as you know. Then we ended up later that night all reconvening because one of the referees at the Sacramento Kings New Orleans game had also been in touch with the Utah Jazz. That referee had had a meeting earlier in the day with the other two referees. So then we made a decision to cancel that game as well.
So pretty extensive detail there by NBA Commissioner Adam Silver about exactly what the process was like in terms of making the decision to suspend the regular season. And it sounds like, you know, Thursday, and that was he joined the NBA on TNT to discuss the situation going on in the NBA. And it sounds like they were planning on making a decision about, you know, potentially playing all their games with no fans in the building Thursday. And then, of course, Wednesday night, the decision was kind of made for them when Rudy Gobert tested positive for coronavirus. Yesterday, we learned Donovan Mitchell also tested positive for coronavirus as well there. So pretty quick reaction by the NBA there after that. And I think, you know, when you have a player test positive at that point, I mean, the decision is kind of made for you.
Yeah, I think they did ultimately what they had to do, and they did it quickly. As Sean Henry, the president of the Predators said yesterday when talking about the NHL and the SEC decisions in Bridgestone Arena. He said these are difficult decisions, not ones that you want to make, but at some point you just have to make them because they're the best decision at the time. And I think that's what happened here. And honestly, frankly, I hope this is the case. I hope when this is all over, and hopefully it is over in 30 days, as everybody sort of says would be the minimum amount of time, hopefully it looks like a major overreaction on the backside. And this doesn't become, you know, one of the all-time great travesties in American history. Hopefully it doesn't get to that point. But part of the reason it may not get there is maybe because of all this action being taken as quickly as it did. So anyway, this is not something to mess around with by any means. And I think the NBA realized that, especially when Rudy Gobert tested positive himself.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when that happens, if you're the NHL, you haven't had anybody that we know of, you know, test positive for coronavirus yet. But you can't come out the next day and be like, all right, well, the NBA, we understand they had a positive test with one of their players. Well, we haven't had that yet. We're going to continue to play. And then all of a sudden you're playing, and let's say Friday, a test comes out that's positive. People are going to be like, what in the world have you been playing for the last couple days after the NBA has made this decision? I mean, this kind of puts you in a situation where you're the NHL, and we started to hear it yesterday morning right when we were getting off of the air. I mean, the NHL canceled their morning skates. There was no media availability, no meetings with the teams. They essentially told all officials that were en route to referee and officiate games that night, hey, might just be good to go home. And when that started to come out and those reports started to come out, I know they made their official announcement later on in the afternoon, but you knew at that point which way they were going to lean. So, I mean,
and frankly, I think we all knew on Wednesday night when it happened. That was the first thing. I remember actually had a conversation with my mom, who was debating on actually going to the Big Ten tournament this weekend. And when I sent her the text about Rudy Gobert in the NBA, she was like, oh my gosh, crazy. And she said, what do you think's going to happen? I said, I don't think we're going to have any sports the rest of the weekend. And she said, seriously, you think they're going to flat out cancel? I heard no fans, but they're going to flat out cancel these things. And I said, yeah. I would be stunned if anybody bounces a ball tomorrow in one of these conference tournaments. And they did actually bounce the ball for a half in the Big East,
which I couldn't believe.
It was unbelievable.
It was almost
tone deaf was that?
Like, was nobody there paying attention to what was going on around them?
They're in New York City. Of all places in the world to be, that's probably the one where you most needed to take some caution with this. But anyway, I think we knew. It just became an avalanche of information and, frankly, unknown of what that information leads to. I mean, we still don't have a great feel for, as we talked about in the first hour, how easily spread it is. I mean, it's pretty clear it's easily spread, but is it how many magnitudes more than the common flu? How much more dangerous is it than the common flu? And it's pretty clear it's more dangerous for people who are 70 and up and people with underlying conditions. But for you or I or the average American, is it much more dangerous at all, frankly? I don't know if even the experts have a full grasp of that. And we talked about the weather. We're getting into that range now where we're going to get some 70-degree days in this part of the country. And certainly on April 1st, you sort of hit into spring and then the summer months. Oftentimes, that kills the flu. I've heard people say that they think that will be a very similar effect on this. But it's new. And I've heard other people say, we don't actually really know if that's the case.
Yeah.
And so that's just a very difficult thing. Is I think people have their hypotheses and they want to be safe, but I'm not sure anybody truly knows what the outcome is going to be.
Got a text on the text line that says, I'd rather the sports industry do this and be wrong than to not cancel it and then be wrong. I mean, I think that's what a large portion of people feel like. I mean, you know, this basically is done. I've tried to, you know, we had this conversation yesterday. Sure, you don't want your players getting sick for their own benefit and for their own health reasons, but based on what we understand, which to your point, Steve, we don't understand everything about this virus. Professional, like Rudy Gobert is probably going to be okay. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, probably going to be okay at the end of the day. If a hockey player got sick, they'd probably be okay. That's not really what they're concerned about, though. It's the continual spreading of this disease, and then it does get into the older population with which could be much more at risk, or people who have those underlying medical conditions. And that's what you're trying to kind of curve off here and prevent that from getting to a situation where you've just got a nationwide pandemic going on that nobody can really control and nobody can really stop at that point.
Well, the double-edged sword to this whole thing is they obviously think many more people who've been who have tested positive for it are actually positive for it at this point.
Yep.
But part of that is there's a lot of people out there who may have it who feel great or feel like they're a little under the weather, but not bad.
Right.
And that's the thing is what we may find is a ton of people get it, but it's not as lethal as people originally thought. And hopefully that is the case, I guess. But yes, for most people, I think if you just take care of yourself and do the proper things, hydrate, fluids, those sort of things, you can beat this.
When we come back, when does the NBA and the NHL come back? When do they start playing again? And what does it look like when they do? We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Steve Lehman here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're discussing what's going on in the world of sports right now. When does the NBA return to action? When does the NHL return to action? Steve, I mean, that's a complicated question to answer at this point.
Yeah. I think the first benchmark's 30 days, right?
Right. That's the minimum. Right?
Major League Soccer said they're suspending for 30 days.
Yeah.
So they're going to check back on, what is today even?
This is the 13th.
We're March 13th now, so that was March 12th yesterday. So on April 12th, they're going to check back and figure where things are. And Adam Silver said last night that it will be at least 30 days. So that would be just at the end of their regular season as scheduled now, if that was the case. I think the NHL is very much in a similar boat. That would be at the end of their regular season and when the playoffs should be starting for them. Major League Baseball said it's at least going to be a couple weeks in. Puts them right at that timeline as well. So I think we're looking about mid-April before we really get any true test. I guess the one thing I'm holding out hope for is PGA last night came out and canceled every tournament through the Valero Texas Open, which is the first week of April. They did not touch the second week of April, which is the Masters.
Right.
And I'm hopeful, if for no other reason than just my level of hope and sanity over the next month, that the Masters, the Green Jackets, hold on and hold back. Maybe ultimately they have to cancel. But if we can get through this and sort of the first moment we can all rally back together, even if it means there's no fans there.
Yeah.
But if we could get to a point where we could all as a nation sit back for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and watch the Masters bring us sports back, that would be pretty special. And so I'm hopeful that that's the case. I think that is the best case scenario right now if you're a sports fan.
I think so too. And we heard in the last segment, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver kind of detail what the process was like making the decision to suspend the season. He also had some comments on what a potential timetable of a return could look like. Here's what Adam Silver had to say.
What we determined today is that this hiatus will be most likely at least 30 days. I mean, and we don't know enough, as you've all said, to be more specific than that, but we wanted to give direction to our players and teams and to our fans that this is going to be roughly at least a month. But then the question becomes, is there a protocol, frankly, with or without fans, in which we can resume play? And I think the goal, and I've been talking a lot to Michelle Roberts, the Players Association, just talked to Chris Paul, the president of the union again earlier tonight, and, you know, and coming together, what makes sense here? And without compromising anyone's safety. And I think it's frankly too early to tell.
That was NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. And look, 30-day minimum, then you kind of reevaluate after that. Right now, I mean, think about how much has changed in the last 48 hours in terms of the way we view this.
Oh, yeah.
Think about how much could change in the next 30 days. I mean, we may have no idea what's in store the next 30 days.
From a sports world, we've sort of hit the max. So yeah. There's not much left to go. I guess NASCAR could cancel, but there's not a whole lot left to go in the sports world. But in terms of the ever-evolving situation around coronavirus and what it means, that could change dramatically. What do you think, Robbie, when it comes specifically to the NBA and NHL, which are at the crucial times of their season? This is the playoff stretch run for all of those teams, for seeding or getting in. 30 days brings you right up to or just past the end of both regular seasons.
Yep.
So if they come back, whether it's 30 days or 60 days or whenever it is, I guess it's a two-part question. How late is too late for them to try to pick up the season? And if they do decide to come back and try to finish the 2019-2020 season, do they try and pick it up with any part of the regular season? Do they just say, what we've played is good enough and we're going to start the playoffs from here? What do you think the logistics on that look like?
I think the NBA is in a much better position to just go ahead and start the playoffs. Because, I mean, let's be honest here. When's the last time like a 7 or an 8 seed in the NBA made a run in the playoffs? It just doesn't happen.
It doesn't.
Like, it just does not happen. And we all get it. In the Eastern Conference, and look, you can't make decisions as a league based off this, but I'd be pretty surprised if the Bucks don't make it to the finals from the East.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a battle between the Lakers and the Clippers, all these different teams in the West. But I feel like you, as the NBA, and they've even to some degree, I think, as a brand, kind of recognize this, that your top-tier teams in each conference, you can pretty much bet those are going to be the teams competing for a championship every year. Whereas in the NHL, we've seen firsthand here in Nashville, that's not always the case. So I do think the NHL, in a perfect world, when you have, you know, the playoffs and kind of a jumbled mess in terms of you got teams tied in the standings, you've got teams that, I guess, points percentage could be the tiebreakers. That'd be a tough pill to swallow if you're the Winnipeg Jets and technically you're in a playoff spot right now, but you break it down by points percentage and all of a sudden you're out. I mean, that's not going to go over well. I think the NHL, you need to have somewhat of a regular season left. Does that mean a full regular season? Like, are you going to play all, you know, 12, 11, 10 games remaining on the schedule? Probably not going to be realistic. That's just the way it is. But maybe each team has 5 games left. And at the end of those 5 games, there you go.
I mean, well, but that's the other thing. So the Jets have played, whatever, a game more,
game
two
more.
Games more.
You got to factor
so
that
in, too.
So does
that mean they have 3 games left and the Predators have 5 games left? It just... It's tricky.
It is.
And that's the unfortunate. I mean,
and then who do you play? Like,
right. Exactly. Yeah, how do you pick your remaining games, what's left, and how you do it? That's very difficult. I would not be surprised if both come back if they just say,
playoffs.
We're going into the playoffs. You got a week to practice, and we're going to start the playoffs, and that's how it's going to go. And they're just going to have to figure out the rest. And it's going to be messy, and it's going to be sticky, but that's what this entire situation is.
I've heard people throw this idea out there. Like, what do you think in terms of the NHL when you've got, like, these 5 teams in the West and these 5 teams in the East just kind of, like, battling it out, 4 teams, 6 teams, whatever the number is, having to play in games where you're just like some like a mini tournament to get in the playoffs. People have thrown that idea out there as well. I mean, that could be something they consider.
Again, go back to Gino Auriemma when we played his clip about college athletics and talking about seniors and maybe they should get their eligibility back for this season because of what happened. And he said, this is an unprecedented circumstance. It calls for unprecedented measures to be taken. Apply that across the board here. This is an unprecedented circumstance. If the NBA or the NHL don't finish their regular season and only play 65 games or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden it's time to start the playoffs, but it's not abundantly clear who the 8 playoff teams in every division or conference, why not? Why not? I mean, why not have the Coyotes,
Jets,
you know,
Canucks,
Coyotes play
Predators,
the Predators, the Canucks play the Jets, and then the winner... Or, you know, maybe that would solve it. That would be your 2 wild cards. But, like, why not do that?
Yeah. Maybe it's like a 2-game thing, a 3-game or a 3-game thing.
Or a quick round robin. There's a lot of ways that you could do it. And, frankly, in a terrible situation, the uniqueness of that, the idea that it's a winner take all, essentially a game 7
it's intriguing.
Type of thing, it's an intriguing thing.
It is. Yeah. There's no question about it. I mean, I think that's the decision that. I think the NHL probably hasn't made yet. The NBA is still probably trying to figure out how to best approach that, because the tough part about it is, yeah, you can have these ideas to make those calls, but you don't know when you're coming back. Like, you still don't know what day you're going to resume play. So it's difficult to, like, come up with a plan in terms of how you're going to address the playoff situation when you don't know for sure when you're coming back. I mean, we heard Sean Henry yesterday talk about arena availability. I mean, they've got dates in July they've given, even all the way up to August, September. Like, you never right. know what's going to happen. And then how late is too late exactly. before you start the next season.
Like, yeah. Well, and that's the other thing, is from a league perspective, how much more important is it to finish your playoffs than it is to have a complete and compact 2020-2021 season? You know, would you be willing, if you're the NBA or the NHL, to go all summer and play into like August or something and shorten the regular season next year?
Yeah.
Like, is that more lucrative
to you? I mean, the NBA was talking about that anyway, maybe potentially shorten the season.
But I'm just wondering, I would assume for both of them, it's more lucrative to have your playoffs and to crown a champion in this season.
Yeah.
And assume you'll be able to do it next season, even if it means next season 62 games as opposed to 82.
Yeah.
But I don't know. At what point is that just not feasible and you just have to call it? So, I mean, we're in uncharted territory, yeah. and it's going to be wild. It's already wild, but it's going to be wild to see how it ultimately plays out.
Let's go real quick to Tim, who wants to weigh in on this topic. Tim, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. Hey, I was just wondering, with the NBA out for 30 days, and you say they come back for the playoffs, is it going to be like the top team still going to be in shape to play in 30 days? I mean, are they still practicing? Are they still shooting? Are they still working out? I mean, with some of the players that that tested positive for the coronavirus, you know, they're trying to stay away from these guys.
Yeah.
I'll just hang up and listen.
Hey, thanks for the call, Tim. Yeah, that's the other part of this. I think the NBA did come out, and I think, you know, Rick Carlisle talked about this after the Mavs game. I guess technically they're still allowed to practice. I mean, I don't know how much of that's going to go on, because you're wanting to self-isolate yourself as well. But that's the other part of it, both with the NBA and the NHL. You got to make sure your athletes are, like, ready to play physically, because you don't want people going out there. Like, sure. The last thing you want is LeBron James coming out in the first game, you know, ripping his hamstring in half, and then he's out. Like, you got to be able to play.
Exactly. Yeah. Teams are all going to do it different. I saw the Lakers are allowing guys to schedule individual time.
Yeah.
To get into the gym. They can't do it together. They can't be, so they're self-isolating in that. But if you want to get in and keep working on individual stuff, you can. So that's going to be interesting. I just got a text. It's a really good idea, too. As you get into it, does it have to be an 18 playoff? If it's the NBA or the NHL, would it be worth at this point taking, in the NBA's case, division leaders and playing semifinals or quarterfinals on in the playoffs, or shortening it in the NHL? I think everything's on the table at this point.
I agree. When we come back, Teron Davenport will join us. There was some Titans news that went down yesterday that we'll get into. Also get his reaction to everything going on in the world of sports. This is Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply. Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save